Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Look, it's like the recording. Hello, Daniel. This is Ed Stetzer. All right, ready? Here we go. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you will find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. I'm Ed Stetzer, and I'm here with the great Daniel M., who did not interrupt my introduction.
Hey, that's great, Ed. Maybe you should do it from now on.
Well, if I do it, I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it to, hey, welcome. Matter of fact, I'm going to do the next one. I'm going to make it my own.
Okay.
So go listen to it. It's two episodes from now, because there's another guy named Todd who does the episodes with us. So two episodes from now, listen again for Ed Stetzer's made up entree. You're going to love it. It's going to change your life.
Fantastic. Well, let's get into today's question. Today's question is submitted by a Plus member. They sent this in. So let's read it for them and we will go ahead and answer it. The biggest challenge in our church is growing small groups. Also, I think our facility is a growth barrier. How do you gauge that? And what next steps should you consider? You know, multiple services? Do you move? Do you share with another church? What do you do about your facility when it's too small? All right, so let's address the first side. The biggest challenge in our church.
There's like nine questions in that thing right there.
So first one.
Plus members challenge. Get extra questions.
Yeah, of course. I mean, plus members can ask anything they want. So there you go. But first question, biggest challenge in our church is growing small groups. What would you have to say about that?
You know, I would say that I've never met a church that didn't struggle with growing small groups in their children's ministry. Those seem to be the areas that even growing churches seem to struggle with. So
I think both.
I mean, it seems to me, this was years ago, but somebody said to me about assimilation to groups. They said, it's always behind and it's always on the fly. It's never smooth and you know, as it's supposed to be. So I think that's kind of how I would explain it. So I would say that, you know, I think ultimately, and again, I don't know a lot of like sports metaphors, but I think that this is just a running game, right? You just got to keep running the ball. You got to keep telling people. And part of it is the shaping the culture. If the culture is shaped into people seeing the value and wanting to participate in small groups, then I think it'll have a long-term better effect and impact. So again, if people aren't involved in small groups, I would say, why not? First, I got to cast a vision for them more. Second, you got to make it easy for them to move from sitting in rows to sitting in circles. How do I, you know, fill out this card right after a testimony? Let's get you engaged and involved, those kinds of things. So I think any of those things ultimately would work. I would say that it's just kind of a common thing. I wrote a whole book on it with Eric Geiger called Transformational Groups. So I'm trying to figure out how much to weigh in on that. And I guess, well, what would you add? Because I got a book worth of stuff.
You sure do. So, and your observation about both groups and children's ministry is an interesting one. And what I would say on top of that would be, whether you're starting a campus or you're starting a church plant, one of those things is, at the beginning, the pastor, you need to focus on small groups. You need to focus on small groups. You need to focus on coaching leaders, raising up leaders of leaders to do all of that. And there gets a point, right? There gets to a point where you're like, man, I can't manage all of these groups anymore. Because not only are you managing your group leaders who pastorally you want to lead because they're your leaders of leaders in your church, not only do you want to have connection to them, but man, what are all the systems in your church? You need to be in connection with that person who's running your guest services system and your children's ministry system and all of this. And you need to really focus in on them. So in light of that, there always comes to this point where you're like, man, you can't, as the pastor, lead all the small group leaders anymore. You need someone else to lead them. And that's where I find that it breaks down in a lot of churches and a lot of campuses, because you think it's the easiest thing in the world. You're like, man, all you do is connect with them. All you do is pray with them. All you do is help them troubleshoot what's going on in the group. And you think that's so easy because naturally, I mean, there's that giftedness, there's that pastoral gifting, there's that shepherding gifting that comes naturally to you. But if you're asking someone in the church who has a full-time job to do that as well and to just replace you, it's going to be a lot. So what I would just say is take a step back, and when you find someone who can help you coach and help you lead, make sure you're walking alongside them and training them well, but also make sure that you're having a ratio of one leader to every 3 to 4 small groups. Don't try to make it bigger than that. Actually, if you have more leaders, even 1 to 2, 1 to 3 is even better. But don't go beyond, 3 to 4, max at the 5.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think ultimately, again, I just want to say, and I hate to, I'm not affirming, mediocrity here, but I want the questioner to hear that this is always going to be a struggle. You're always looking for more leaders. You're always trying to get people more involved. And don't grow weary with that. Instead, recognize that this is just part of what it means to pastor a church in a culture that really doesn't value community, but values individuality and autonomous individualism. And so for you to keep saying, hey, we're going to continue to push forward on this. We want you to get involved in this. It's sometimes a long, hard slog, but it's worth it in the long run. But it just takes a little time.
Yeah, that's really good. All right, so let's hear a quick word from our sponsor from today, and then we'll get into part 2 of the episode. Just a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we'll get back into the episode. Do you ever feel like you don't know where to start with volunteer training? Or if you do, is it hard to get everyone in the same place at the same time? Well, Ministry Grid makes it simple to train every volunteer and leader in your church. With a library of over 3,500 videos and 800 courses, you'll find training for every ministry area and leadership level. From volunteers to leaders to ministry directors, Ministry Grid's scope and sequence of training makes it easy to know who needs what training. And here's the best news of all. For the month of August, you can get unlimited access to Ministry Grid for your entire church for just $399 a year. And every year after that, you're locked into that price. If you want to take advantage of this incredible deal, just go to ministrygrid.com/podcast to get unlimited training for $399. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com/podcast. Now let's get back to the interview. All right. So the second part of the question was facility being a growth barrier, right? So when your facility is a growth barrier, what do you think would be the next thing to consider? Is it multiple services? Is it moving to a bigger location? Or is it sharing with another church? What are your thoughts on your facility as a growth barrier?
Well, I mean, all of those are options, right? We don't know enough to say that, but I would say that consistently the facility becomes a growth barrier, I preached at a church, a couple of months ago now, that has a 10,000 seat sanctuary. They don't got a growth barrier, right? They're always at Salem in Chicago. They always have space and they go two services. I mean, whatever. But for most of us, there's always that, right? And there's always a sense, particularly as a new church, where you will get it going, start a church, get things moving, and then it'll sort of stall because you don't have enough space in your building. So I'm always asking, can I go to a second service? Can I go to another service? But if my church is smaller, if my church has less than 100 seats, going to two services can sometimes feel even counterproductive. So is there another place? Is there another space? So what I would just say is I feel like both of my answers are the same thing. I would just constantly feel the tension and look for opportunities to find a better place to meet, to gather together, to go to more than one, two services. And are there always places? No, sometimes you're just stuck there for a while. And if you're stuck there for a while, then you make the best of it. And I'm going to be speaking at a church that has 5 Sunday services in a few months. And just because they can't get any of the space, it's in a urban area. They just don't have any other option. So this is what they do. And it's ultimately what you may do as well, because that's what you got and you can't fix it. It's interesting, with the change in movie theaters, all the movie theaters, I don't know if in Nashville, but I think so, have all changed over to these like reclining things. And all of a sudden, those of us who are renting movie theaters, your available seats are sometimes cut by 2/3. And so now a lot of churches are like, well, what do we do now? Well, we might have to do multiple services. There's 100 different things that you have to do differently depending on your building. You just have to find the right place for that building to work.
Oh, completely. I mean, we could do a whole episode on movie theater seating right now, but I mean, I would I would encourage you to not meet in a movie theater that has those huge leather recliners, because you're facing enough of a barrier when you're in a movie theater toward consumeristic tendencies, because that's just naturally what it is. And I love meeting in a movie theater. It's fine. and you can get over that. But once you like have the seats and the seats are massive and you can fully recline, I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's
you might have to ask people, please don't recline during the sermon. I don't want you to fall asleep.
Exactly. Now, okay. So there's this church plant out in LA that's done a great job at preparing to go to two services even when they weren't there. And I guess the common theme underneath this question is the importance of developing leaders that develop leaders that develop leaders, right? It's that leadership pipeline, the importance of your leadership pipeline. But this one thing that this church did that I think every church can do, especially if you're in a single service and you're getting to hitting your growth, you know, you're maxing out at seat capacity, would be to double every volunteer, right? So in other words, if you have a children's ministry department where you have one teacher for grade 1 and 2 and another teacher for grade 3 and 4 and another one for 5 and 6, right? You have 3 teachers. What would it look like for you to over the
Very
next
normal.
Year go from 3 teachers to 6 teachers? And to have doubles for each. Yeah. Same with your ushers and worship ministry, every single ministry of your church, what would it look like for you to double that? So that when it comes time for you to start another service, you have 2 teams, but as you're getting ready to that second service, getting ready, everyone is now moving from 2 teams to 3 teams and 3 teams to 4 teams. But that's something that you can actually start and that you need to start months, maybe even a year before you're ready to go to another service.
Yeah. And I think the constant challenge is just not, and this is kind of the theme, right? There's been a theme of this whole particular podcast. The constant challenge doesn't go away. You just, you know, if your church continues to grow, you overcome one. I think church planting is a successful church planting is a series of resolved crises. And one of them are going to be space and they're going to be workers and more. But I think you can get there, but it takes patience and really it takes leading the people through some of the times when they might get impatient as well. So don't be afraid to speak up and say, hey, we recognize this is some challenge. We're going to keep moving forward on this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Completely. All right. Well, thank you again for listening in. We hope you enjoyed that podcast and be sure to check out the EST podcast as well with our friends Sam Rayner, Micah Fries, and Josh King. They have they've covered great topics on the established church. And we know there are several, actually a lot of established churches that are listening into this podcast as well because you're thinking about multiplication. So that's a great podcast to tune into as well. And we'll catch you guys next time.